Strange times. I have to give it a moment for my glasses to defog. It's great to see everybody. The saints at New City Fellowship greet you all. It's wonderful to be here. It's been way too long. When your pastor asked, Pastor Tom said, would you or Pete be able to come and share the word? I had a little brief meeting with Pete and said, I'm doing it this time because he did it last time. And it's been a while. So no further ado, let's open up to the Word of God to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be focusing on verse 11. But we're going to start with verse 9 just for a little context, and we'll read a little more of chapter 3 in the message as well. Hear God's word to you. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. May he bless it to our hearts and lives this morning. Maybe you've heard this before. I know I have. God doesn't see color. Or then I've even heard one even a little bit worse than that. God is colorblind. Other folks will say, in his eyes, we're all the same. Here's another one. You know, I don't think of you as black. Now, when I hear those things, all I could say to myself is, we do say some silly things, don't we? Of course, here's the issue. God does see color. He's not colorblind. He is actually the one who made every single skin tone known to man. Our God loves diversity. He made us this way. It's a blessing. He made all of the skin tones and all their glorious splendor. And listen, think about it this way. Can you imagine, and I've heard this said, that's why I'm bringing it up. Can you imagine going up to a black brother or sister in Christ and saying, I don't think of you as black. Now, usually there's a lot behind that statement. Well, let me put it this way. Imagine going up to a Christian lady and saying, I don't think of you as a woman. You think she's going to say, oh, thank you. Thank you for that compliment. Well, we know for a fact, the Bible tells us at the very beginning, God made them what? Male and female. So even within the human species, right from the get-go, there was great diversity. There was male and there was female. So then what does Paul mean? Here's the question. What does Paul mean when he says there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free? And then in Galatians 3:28, he says there's no male nor female. Well, we know from the context itself that Paul can't mean, this is the encouraging thing, Paul can't mean there are no distinctions among us, there are no differences. And let me just give you two very quick examples. First, in chapter 4, the very next chapter of this epistle, he singles out three of his fellow workers. And the way he singles them out is by saying, these are my only fellow Jews who are my gospel workers, and they have been a comfort to me. So remember, he said there's no Greek or Jew, but here he's now pointing out that he has Jewish brothers who have been a great comfort to him in the ministry of the gospel. Now, he also says in 3:11, there's nor no slave nor free, and yet at the end of chapter 3, beginning of chapter 4, what does he specifies how the gospel should impact slaves and how the gospel should impact masters. Where am I going with this? Well, where I'm going with this is where Paul's going with this. Paul, these verses and verses like them are not teaching us to ignore our differences or to minimize our differences or live in a fantasy land where we refuse to acknowledge that some people have dark skin, some people have light skin. Some people are male, some people are female. Some people are Jewish believers, some people are Gentile believers. Dave Cohen, he happens to be a Jewish believer, and he's part of our team. He's with Hope for Atlantic City as well. Sometimes folks will go up to him, "Oh, I heard you used to be Jewish." And then when I hear that from the other side of the room, I kind of go, "Oh, here it comes." Because he didn't used to be Jewish. He's still Jewish. He believes in Jesus, the Messiah. Now, if I were in AC, I'd say, "Can I get an amen?" So no, of course, there's still Italian Americans, Korean Americans. We all have our beautiful distinctives. And that means we can equally say black is beautiful, white is wonderful, and olive is bello. We could say that. We could say that. Now, here's the thing that a couple things I want to point out before we even jump into the text. And the first thing is, just from that little introduction here, we have to understand that sameness does not equal oneness. Because somehow we feel like if we can all say that we're all the same, then we'll be more united. But that's not true. Sameness, look, I'll tell you it's not true. You ever been to an Italian-American dinner? You know, it's not a lot of oneness a lot of times. There's a lot of yelling and screaming and arguing. So sameness doesn't equal all the time oneness. And the other thing that's important in the church to understand is that we don't have to minimize our differences in order to maximize our oneness. You get that? We don't have to minimize our differences in order to maximize our oneness. Because here's the problem. In our attempts not to offend one another, to smooth things over, sometimes in our attempts to avoid the hard conversations about racial reconciliation, about race relations, even in the church, we end up doing the very opposite of what we intended on doing. In other words, what we end up doing is belittling each other. We end up minimizing each other's concerns and literally dismissing our brother or our sister in Christ. And here's the thing. We see past the person instead of looking right at them and seeing them for the beautiful, glorious, wonderful way that God made them and delighting in that and inviting them to delight in the way God made us as well. So I bring this up because it's high time for us in the church to stop taking our cues from the world on how to deal with differences, not only in the world, but even in the church. It's time for us to let God's word, as it's found particularly here in Colossians 3, to help us navigate the troubled waters of racial tension, social unrest, ungodly division in the church that we find ourselves in today. So as we look at Colossians 3:11 and its surrounding context, simply want to point out two eternal truths that we can hold on to and live by in Christ this morning. And we're going to see this, that as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, we have to recognize two things. We have to recognize that our primary identity, this is important, is in Christ. That's number one. We want real unity and diversity. We all have to recognize our primary identity is in Jesus Christ. Second one is we must live our lives in accordance with that primary identity. Recognize it and then live like it. Those are the two things we're going to see. So take a look at the first one. We must recognize our primary identity is in Christ. So Paul says this in the text, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, and patience. Now, here's the thing. God's people, I'm sorry, my notes are a little bit mixed up here. Printer issues. Back to the point. In the NIV and the ESV, in verse 11, it translates it this way. Here there is no Greek or Jew. But the Greek, the original Greek, actually reads this way: where there is no Greek or Jew. Now the question is, where does the where refer to? Well, now that we look at the context, excuse me for that mistake. Look at verse 9. Don't lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew. So where are there no distinctions? Why do I bring this up? There are no distinctions, guess where? In the new creation. In the new man that God is creating, in the new society of Christ, there are no distinctions. That's where. It's important for us to understand that's exactly what Paul's talking about. In other words, what Paul is saying is there is an even more basic, more fundamental place where we find our identity, if indeed we're united to Christ by faith. So here's the issue. It goes deeper than skin color. It goes deeper even than ethnicity. It goes deeper than language, than socioeconomic group, you know, blue collar, white collar. It goes even deeper than the distinction of gender, which those of us who are married know there's a big difference between how males and females think. The Bible tells us right here, verse 11, Christ is all and is in all. That's the key. The key is we find our identity there. That means Jesus, we could translate it this way, Jesus is everything. Did you ever hear someone who's married say, like a husband say about his wife, she's my everything. Ever hear that? How about, she's my world. Well, in the church, Jesus is everything. In the new creation that God's creating, that he's saving out of the world, Jesus is all. He's supreme. You know, it's that whole idea in an orchestra, the instruments don't all tune to each other. They tune to the conductor. And if they're all in tune with him, then what? They're all in tune with one another. So that means my family ties, my skin tone, my nationality, my cultural background, my social class, no matter if I have blue collar, white collar, no collar, that all comes in a distant, far distant second. Before we are anything else, we're new creations in Christ. And that unites us like nothing else. And that's our primary identity. But Paul doesn't stop there. And he says something that's equally powerful. He doesn't just say Christ is all. Notice what he says in the text. Christ is what? In all. What are the practical ramifications of that? So when I look at a black brother and sister in Christ, or an Asian brother or sister in Christ, I see that Jesus is in them. The same Jesus that is in them is the Jesus who is in me. So it's not just that Jesus is all, he's in us all. And that means we look at each other a little differently. We look at each other as family. We are one in Christ. He is in us all. We're a part of God's new society, being renewed in his image. And that means this. You know how we usually say blood is thicker than water? Ever hear that? Well, here the Bible's telling us spirit is thicker than blood. It's thicker than DNA. Doesn't matter whether you're Greek, whether you're Jew, whether you're black, white, Asian, Latino, if you're in Christ, then that is your identity. So that's really my first point, and the point that we really have to focus on before we jump into the next one, and that is this. Our distinctions are not a cause for separation or disunity. They're not barriers to intimate fellowship and oneness, as they often are in the world. That's what Paul means when he says there's no Greek, there's no Jew, slave, free, male, female. Think about it. In the world, it separates us. What do I mean? Feminism. What's feminism? It's basically, ultimately, secular feminism, women are superior. It's a bad way of separating, right? What's chauvinism? Men are better. It's a separation. But in the church, those things don't separate. Those things unite because we rejoice in our differences. And we see that our ultimate identity is, yeah, I'm an Italian-American. Yes, I'm a man. But before I'm any of those things, I'm a Christian. So that's, we have to see that our union with Christ doesn't eradicate our differences. It enables us to live in harmony in the midst of them. Now I'm going to begin to preach at the second point, because the second thing I want to point out is that we must live our lives in accordance with that primary identity that we have in Christ. Excuse me. Now, the verse I quoted earlier, I want to quote now. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is how we are to live with the very real differences that are among us in the Church of Jesus Christ. See, here's the thing. Think about this. The world doesn't have Jesus living in them. You know, that old statement, why can't we all get along? Just get along. Because the world doesn't have Jesus in them. Christ isn't everything for them, as he is for us. And so we're to live together in a radically different way than the world does. And notice Paul's way of putting it here, as God's chosen people. Who were the chosen people in the Old Testament? You can say it out loud. The Jews. Guess who the chosen people are in the New Covenant? People from every tribe, tongue, nation who have faith in Christ. We are God's holy nation. And of course, when we proclaim that good news to the folks around us who come from all various groups, especially here in our country, some people are going to repent and believe. And they're going to believe in Jesus. They're going to become a part of the church. And unlike the world, we have to learn to live in peace and harmony with each other because we are a family. And as a family, what affects one member affects us all. So at New City Fellowship of Atlantic City, one of our black brothers or sisters is lamenting over racism, over injustice that they've personally experienced, we mourn with them. And we do what we can to hate to make our world a more just and a righteous, more righteous place. You know, let me bring it down for you. One time we had one of our regular attenders come at the prayer. We have a prayer time, and we open it up for everybody to give prayer requests in our church because we're small enough to be able to do that, intimate enough. And one dear saint couldn't even get the words out but was busting out crying. She went to work to clean a house, and the owner of the house said, I don't want her kind in my house. What do you do with that? You know what we did? We all cried, and we all prayed with her. We all consoled her. And we mourned with her. Because we're not in glory yet. And the world is still a difficult place to navigate. You know, Henry Drummond once said this, and it's something that stuck with me to this day. He said, the greatest thing a man can do for his heavenly Father is to be kind to some of his other children. You ever think about that? You want to bless your father's heart? Show kindness, show mercy. What's interesting, in the NIV it puts it this way, it says, clothe yourselves with kindness and with compassion. You know, we talk about dress code, we talk about what to wear. Well, this dress code, you can't go out and buy at Old Navy. Can I get an amen? So there is a dress code in the church, but it's not about ties or not ties, robes or not robes, dresses or pants. It's not about that. It's about the qualities of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Compassion, kindness. There's a pastor I once knew. As a matter of fact, he was my first pastor. You may have heard of him. His name was Dr. Craig DeBenedictus, something like that. But I've been transferring some of his sermons from tape to MP3, and I listen to them as I transfer them. And I found this wonderful quote from him. He said this once. Some of you might remember this. Why do you avoid people who rub you the wrong way, whose personality gets on your nerves, or they say things to hurt your feelings? I thought Christians were supposed to show the love of the cross to people, not the love of the world. The world is selective. The world's love gravitates to its own kind. Hello? To the comfortable, the lovely, the acceptable. The world can easily match us in terms of love that's selective, that chooses people based on comfort, that gives them, boy, is this convicting, the least pain. Ouch. The older I get, sometimes I'm like, oh man, drama, right? But if that's the way we love, then we're just mimicking the world. Do you have relationships where you feel a little taste of crucifixion? Because if you don't, then you don't have agape relationships. Wow. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know what that means? That means for somebody else, I'm that person. You know what I'm saying? I rub them the wrong way. They need to exercise tons of patience and long suffering with me. And why I say that is, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful I'm a part of a family of God that has patience with me, that doesn't give up on me, doesn't write me off. Think about it this way. Can you imagine in the early church, gospel's preached in Colossae, barbarians get saved. Greeks get saved. Greeks are very cultured, you know, philosophically astute. Barbarians were a little rougher. They didn't speak Greek. They spoke their own tongue. You have Jewish people. You have slaves. You have masters. Can you imagine the discussions that must have went on back then in the church? You imagine when you're serving communion and a slave's there, and then there's their master right there, and wow. So why do I say that? Because we sometimes feel like we're the first people to have to deal with differences. The Church of Jesus Christ has always had to deal with this kind of diversity. It's nothing new. It's not new to us. It's not something that we could say it's a special circumstance. It's not. You know, my first time that I went to New City Fellowship in Chattanooga, Tennessee, when I went down to study at Covenant College, I went to the first service there. My wife and I went with our children, and it blew me away to see someone dressed, decked out in full African tribal garb. I mean, it was incredible, all the colors. The next to them would be a white hippie with a tie-dye shirt. Next to that person would be an older white gentleman with a three-piece suit. You get the picture? And we would sing sometimes just a little bit in Swahili, some in English. It was just, to me, such a glorious picture of the kingdom of God. And how awesome to be a part of that. And we say how awesome and glorious God is, that he could create, not only create such diversity, but save people from all different backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds. But there's a challenging side. There's a challenging side to this diversity as well. And knowing now that I've been serving in Atlantic City for, I think, almost 11 years, I see it so much more clearly. Now, from time to time, okay, so maybe on a daily basis, but I'd like to stick with from time to time. Our different cultural backgrounds or different ethnic differences or different customs will clash. They'll cause friction. They'll cause hurt feelings. They'll lead to feelings, old feelings of distrust. And on top of that, we'll just flat out sin against each other because we're wicked sinners. We still have a sinful nature. So it's not for no reason that right after Colossians 3:11 comes 3:12. Clothe yourself with compassion and kindness. Forgive one another as the Lord forgave you. I'm sure some of you have seen the movie Remember the Titans. No? Remember the? Oh, if you haven't, you got to say that's a really good movie. But basically, it's a movie about where they forced integration at a time of segregation. So white students and black students had to go together in the same high school, and they had to be on the same football team. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but at the end of the movie, when they're all grown up and they're older, they're all attending. They show them that they're attending one of their ex-fellow students' funerals. And at the funeral, the coach's daughter makes a comment that is so striking to me. She says this: people say that it can't work, black and white. Well, here we make it work every day. We have our disagreements, of course, but before we reach for hate, always, always, we remember the Titans. Anybody remember that line? Well, for the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the ages, the only institution of which Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against her. Before we reach for hate, always, always, we remember not the Titans, but we remember the death and the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And sometimes, that's right, sometimes we'll take the hit for the sake of the cross. That's what love is all about, isn't it? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? By laying his life down. By sacrificing. By saying, you know what? I don't have to win this argument. You know what? I don't have to enforce my rights or my will. How are we to make this work against all odds while we're in this epic battle against the flesh, against the world, against the devil? Look with me real quick at verses 13 and 14. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You know what that means? That means put up with each other for Jesus' sake. Let's be honest. That's what it means. Because you know why? He puts up with us regularly. You know, when I'm ready to say, I'm done with this, I am totally done, I literally can almost hear. And I look up and say, oh, I got it, Lord. Please, you don't have to say anything. Because I know you're putting up with me 24/7. And that's what the Bible says here. We are to forgive as the Lord forgave us. The Lord remembers our sins no more. Can I get a hallelujah? He doesn't keep a record. Hey, didn't you do this last week too? You know, Santa, I'm tired of you coming to me. Is it? God never says that. At New City Fellowship of Atlantic City, by the grace of God, we make it work. It's such a beautiful thing. I'm so thankful to the Lord Jesus. You know, COVID has definitely dampened our outreach efforts. We had our UMTs all cancel on us this summer, which is one of our huge outreaches to the community. We're in the community for like two and a half months straight, just schmoozing with people, sharing the gospel with children, meeting families. And that was kiboshed by COVID. So we had 2 weeks of Bible clubs compared to 2 months. But here's what God has been doing very quickly as we come to a close. What God has been doing at New City, despite COVID, and maybe in a sense even using it, he has been taking our tightly knit little group and actually making us even tighter. And for the first time, I'm so glad, not only a prayer request, but a praise report. For the first time in years, we are having a new members class, and we have 6 people at the new members class, and 4 of them are minorities. You don't understand for us, because Atlantic City, just so you know, is 40% black. So if we just want to reach our neighbors, then our church should reflect our community. And so for us, we had the vision of being cross-cultural. And then over the last number of years, I almost forgot to thank Jesus, because that's exactly what we are now. It's no longer a vision, It's who we are. Now, of course, we want to be more. You always want to reach more and go deeper and go further up and further in. But I want you to give praise to God with me on that. And I want you to pray for our new members class. We've already had two sessions. Pray that God would bless it and that these folks would actually join the church and be members. One of them, I just got to say this because I give glory to God. One of them is a little girl we met on the tarp at Bible clubs in 2010. And she's now in college. And she's wanted to come to our new members class. She's been coming ever since, regularly, faithfully. That's a God thing. Because I look at that, why does she keep coming here? That's a God thing. So as I come to a close, I want to remind you of this. How are you going to make it work here at Calvary, at New City, wherever we are? It's that we recognize who we are in Christ, our identity. That is the basis of our identity. That's why I want to say, you better identify. That's how I want to title this sermon. You got to identify with Christ. And then secondly, you got to put on the clothes of the gospel in order to flesh that out on a daily basis so that you can maintain that unity that Christ has won for us on the cross. And be a blessing, not only to your congregation, to each other, but to the world. Because the world's going to look and say, there's something special going on here. Because how are these people still together with all this diversity? And not only surviving, that's the key, but thriving in Jesus. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you that let every man be a liar, but you are true. And that you love us, and that these words bring us not only in union with you through faith in Christ, but with one another. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless the work in Atlantic City that you've been doing. But we pray, Lord, that you continue your work here at Calvary. That, Lord, that you would draw more people to yourself through the gospel, and that we would have more intimate fellowship with one another based on our ultimate identity in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.